We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 258. Kind of seems like the Yankees have written the ship after the Boston Massacre. That was a full week ago at this point. Do you feel a little bit better about everything, Scott?
Yeah, I'd say I do. Remember, if you recall, I forgot about that, whatever massacre you're speaking of. That's a distant memory. It's no longer there. I've scrubbed it. Did the Men in Black thing. It is gone. So yeah, the Yankees are playing good baseball. It's they're doing things. I think there's been some hiccups along the way. There's no doubt. But overall, I think with what we see in front of us and the teams that we've played, they're playing good enough to beat them.
Yeah, you just gain a little confidence on the punching bags of the White Sox and the Texas Rangers and things like that.
It's crazy because they're not playing great baseball, but they're playing good enough baseball.
Well. Yeah, we have some numbers here that we're going to get into everything, but like we said, the Yankees 6-1 since the Boston series. Overall, they're 74-43, and like you just said, they're not playing great baseball. What does that say? Does that mean that this team is just so good that they can play average baseball and still beat teams most of the time? Or does that just say a lot of the teams, most of the teams except for the guys at the top of the divisions, just totally suck?
Well, yeah, that definitely, I think that's part of it. I think it's a big part of it is that the teams aren't very good, and the Yankees just weren't taking advantage of that early on. Seems like they have righted that ship, and they're actually taking advantage of the bad teams, and they're going to need to for the rest of the season. So, I think this is actually a good sign. The fact that they cannot play their best baseball and still come out with victories in some of these games that, if you're playing a decent team, you're not coming out with a victory. But It's just one of those, when you see the teams in front of you, you got to figure out a way to beat them on a given day, and that's what they've been doing. So they've been doing their job.
Yeah, and I think most Yankee fans, when they look at it, you can pick out a ton of issues with this team, whether it's the starting rotation, some guys in the bullpen not performing, the offense having holes in it because there's been so many injuries. So I think that's why just reading different articles and watching fan reactions on social media, you'd think this team is falling apart at the seams.
Well, yeah, when you have Sugar Shane Robinson going out there and starting, and basically you're starting right fielder at this point.
Oh yeah, get used to Robinson for a long time now.
Yeah, that's a problem. And when you see that guy out there in your starting lineup, it seems like every day, there's only been a few cards that haven't included Mr. Robinson on there. That's not good. That's not what you want to see. That's not what you want when you're watching Yankee baseball.
It's not what you want?
It's not what you
want. I've heard that before.
I'm still disappointed that I'm not seeing two ear holes on his helmet, though. I mean, he really, really, really belongs in a two ear hole helmet. I don't know why someone hasn't given him that helmet yet.
He's like the kid in Little League that has to get a three innings in the field and an at bat because he's on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the guy deserves the two ear holes. I think someone needs to give that to him.
All right, a couple of housekeeping notes. First of all, today, as you guys are listening to this, is the makeup game against the Mets. That was supposed to be our Subway Series event a couple of weeks ago. It was a Sunday night game that got rained out. I know a lot of people are going to be still going to that game. I will be going to that game. I'll be coming right from the office. I'm going to try and get to the dugout early. Going to try and get there by 5:30, 6 o'clock. We can have a few drinks before we head into the stadium, but I will definitely be at the game. Looking forward to everyone who can still make it from that first event or that first date that it was supposed to be.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, Mondays are not conducive to me with work and things like that, so I'm not able to get to this one. But the next event, obviously, is the following weekend is the August 18th event, which is the 1998 20-year celebration game. We have a good crowd. We'll be out there. We're going to be in left field this time, which is section 234, which is basically the opposite, the exact same seats, really, just in left field. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be at the the dugout pregame at 10 o'clock, breakfast beers for 20 years. It's going to be the second time we're doing that. Today, as you're listening, we're recording this on Sunday, so that's why we keep saying that. But Monday is the cutoff for tickets. So if you have not gotten your crew together, get them together. Today will be the last day that you can do this. Again, we're running that same promotion. If you bring five people, then you get your ticket for half off. And then if you bring 10 people, 10 plus in your group, and you're the captain of that group, you get your ticket for free. So you just got to shoot us an email, info@BronxPinstripes.com, before you buy, and I will send you a code that will get you your ticket for free or half off if you're doing that deal. But make sure you get that in today, because we're going to start with the, you know, transferring of the tickets and doing all that stuff too. A lot of the t-shirts were already ordered. They'll be delivering, probably early to middle of this week. And I did, put in for a whole bunch of extras as well. So if anybody who signs up late, I can most likely bring them with me, as many as I can fit in a duffel bag. So I'm the sketchy guy with a duffel bag walking around the bars and the stadium usually when we have these events.
But we know the gate to go in the stadium to make sure that they let us in.
Dude, you just screwed me. Just screwed me.
I'm not saying what gate it is.
No, I know. No one knows where we're going to be. I feel like you just said that I'm 100% getting in. Now with my duffel bag of goodies.
Hey, I've had enough
there's usually
equipment.
Things hidden. There's usually things hidden in my duffel bag.
I've had enough equipment and things confiscated at Yankee Stadium that it's about time you've had some. Maybe your luck has run out.
No, we don't need that. That's the two wrongs don't make a right here. This is not what we want.
I'm just bitter.
But yeah, if you guys, this is the last one. Sorry. And then the final event. This is gonna be the final one of the season. We're back in our original home of 205, where we will normally be. That's the September 15th event. That's the versus Toronto. Right now it's a 4 o'clock game, but it is a flex game, so they may switch it to a different time. We won't know until they actually do that or don't do that. And I will, as soon as they do, make a change, I'll put it out there and make sure everybody knows.
But learned our lesson last year. They can flex games earlier. We didn't think that was possible. It had never been done in the history of flexing games,
right?
It happened.
Yes, we were told that it was not possible, and then it did happen, and it was possible. So that is apparently a possibility, but not a likelihood, is what they say. So we'll see.
It's going to be a playoff tune-up on September 15th, because the way things are shaking out, that's how the season is going. So definitely get your tickets for that. But if you are interested in maybe getting some playoff tickets, or if you want to go see some football games, which is back, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. So, Scott, they just said football's coming back. You excited about the Jets season? You think you're going to go to a game this year?
No, absolutely. I am excited. I actually got very excited watching the preseason game with Sam Darnold. Kid looks like the real deal. I'm pumped up. I'm waiting for Brady to retire now in a year and a half.
All the contract stuff
division
is
ours. Oh, yeah. It's all done. It's all done. Yep. So I will absolutely be in the in the stadium watching our new boy Darnold. I was not excited about him beforehand, but then I saw him play, and I'm very excited about him.
Oh, you're like roped in. This is good.
Yeah. Oh,
this
yeah.
is good. You're excited. Everyone, every Jets fan's excited in August.
But SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever by searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket with a base value. SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with a lot of confidence. I actually do use SeatGeek when I do go to the Jets game. I use SeatGeek. It's by far the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I actually just used tickets to buy. I actually bought some for my brother-in-law to go to one of the preseason games that are coming up, so I'm excited for that. And then also, SeatGeek is great for playoff games for the New York Yankees. Obviously, we're gearing towards hopefully who knows, maybe a division, but probably a wild card, so you can use it there. Best of all, everybody listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show can use the promo code Bronx and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code Bronx today, and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Okay, as you said, probably heading towards a wild card game. Doesn't it kind of feel anticlimactic at this point with the way the season is shaking out? The Yankees are 74-43. It's a great record. It just so happens the Red Sox are on a historic pace. So with the way things are shaking out, we kind of know it's going to be either Oakland coming into Yankee Stadium or Seattle coming into Yankee Stadium in early October for that one game wild card, do or die.
Yeah, that's what it feels like right now. I mean, it feels like the Red Sox are untouchable in the division at this point, because I mean the Yankees have played 6-1 ball since leaving the terrible confines of Fenway Park.
The thing that will not be named.
The thing that we will not discuss.
That kind of happened, maybe.
And I think that, what, have they lost half a game? I think it is.
Yeah, they lost half a game because you know why? Boston actually proved us wrong, and they swept a doubleheader against Baltimore. So that can happen, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, so Michael Kay was right, and Boston proved him right. There you go. So, you know, you play 6-1 ball. You'd think that, you know, maybe you're making up some ground, and no, you lose half a game. So, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's there, unless Boston goes on something, some kind of a losing streak, which they are due for. I mean, they are, if due is a thing, and if you believe in being due for things, they're due for a long losing streak at some point. They just haven't done it, and it doesn't look like they're losing much of their stride. So, yeah, looks like we're going for a wild card. We're going to get some West Coast team over into the Bronx.
Well, I was thinking that what really the difference is now between the division is, do you play the American League Division Series in Fenway Park or at home at Yankee Stadium against the Red Sox? Because if the Yankees have the second best record in baseball, so if they do catch the Red Sox somehow, they go on this unbelievable tear and Boston maybe plays 500, that means they're just going to swap places. The Yankees will have the best record in baseball. Boston will have the second best record. You're going to assume that the Yankees can win the wild card game just like the Red Sox can win the wild card game, and then that other team's coming into town. So the difference is one game in the division series, either in Boston or in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, but that's a big deal, right? I mean,
of course it's a huge deal.
That's an absolutely big deal. So if they're not trying to, I mean, they have to be looking at the division still at some point, right? I mean, you're not looking at it on a daily basis. You're trying to win games, and then you look up every once in a while and see where you are. They can't be chasing the Red Sox right now. They got to be winning games and worry about their own business at this point. And if it works out, then it works out.
I think the whole notion of at least the narrative of chasing Boston ended when they got swept. You couldn't get swept. You couldn't have gotten swept in that series. That was the one thing you can't do, and that's what happened. So we're being realistic about it. I understand there's 40 plus games left in the season, but with the way these two teams are trending, and the fact that you have 6 more games against them, unless you win all 6 of those, it's going to be really, really, really difficult to catch Boston.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to be realistic about that, especially when you have Gary Sanchez out and Aaron Judge out and Shane Robinson playing the outfield every single day. Like, Shane Robinson comes into the clubhouse like, I can't be in the lineup again, right? Like, this has been one big prank. Oh, shit, I'm in the lineup again? Is this a make-a-wish? What is going on here?
No, it's certainly not what you're looking at the lineup. See, the one thing if the Yankees could do, if they focus on if they focus on winning games, obviously that's the main focus, right? Handling internal business. But if they could go through this month and somehow, you know, get a few games and try to get within, I don't know, 6 games, something, 5-6 games somehow scratch back into that. Like, I think there's a chance then you're going to put some pressure on. They absolutely have to get within a stone's throw so that at least there's that pressure on Boston, you know, heading down the stretch. And obviously the last series is at Fenway Park between the Yankees and the Red Sox, so that's a big deal. But, you know, if they're not a stone's throw within, you know, the beginning of that month, I think that there's going to be some preparing for, you know, the wild card and Boston preparing for the division. Like, you'll be able to prepare and set your, you know, what you're going to do, I think, a lot earlier at that point.
This actually, it kind of reminds me of something that happened with the Jets, as we were just talking about a few years ago. You remember that playoff game against the Bengals, and they played them in the last game of the season, and the Bengals rested everybody?
Yeah.
They just didn't want to play anybody. And then the Jets played it like it was a playoff game. They had to win it. They won it. And then in the playoff game, the Jets actually won. Well, the Yankees are going to be in Boston the last weekend of the year. Boston might be resting everybody, and they might be cold by the time the division series comes around. And that might play into the Yankees' hands that way. I'm just kind of trying to talk myself into ways how this could actually be a good thing for the Yankees.
Well, I mean, you know, if they go into that series and everything's already set, you know, they know that they're going to be in the wild card at that point, and the Red Sox know that they have the division. I mean, you can line your pitching up at that point. You can do things that will benefit you compared to what the other team is doing, at least, because it seems like the other teams, Oakland, Seattle, like they're going to be battling. They have a tight race that's going to be happening down the stretch. So, you know, the hope is that they kind of wear themselves out at the end, and they have a tight battle for whoever the team is to face the wild card.
But what if the Yankees have to win a couple of those Boston games to lock it in at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I mean that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Then you could do so much. I still think you could set your pitching up to an extent. You know, you can set it up by getting other guys starts beforehand and just, I don't know, lining them up to your advantage. And maybe it's not Severino, but it could be, you know, whoever the number two is at that point. Whoever's pitching already, as the number two right there.
You're already writing off Severino at this point?
No. I said if it's not Severino. Don't have to throw Severino. No, I said you don't have to throw Severino. I'm saying to start the wild card. If you have to throw Severino beforehand, you can line up whoever the number two would be.
We actually have a mailbag question about a future playoff rotation we'll get to in a few minutes. But isn't it crazy we're sitting here August 12th and we're already talking about the first round of the playoffs? Because that's where we are at this point in this season. I thought it was going to be a battle towards the end with the Red Sox. Maybe it still will be, but as we're sitting here in mid-August, it doesn't feel like one.
No, I mean, you have to look at what the standings say right now. And yes, I know it's not like I'm not giving up on the division. I'm not saying that, because I do believe that Boston's at some point going to get cold and they're going to run into a cold streak. And if the Yankees could take advantage of that, then this lead could absolutely get much smaller very fast. It could definitely happen that way. Because I don't know. I just don't think it's sustainable what they're doing. And I didn't think it was sustainable until this point. So the fact that they have kept it going as long as they have, you know, obviously, you know, gives me the worry that they're not going to go into one of those cold streaks. But the fact of the matter is, the Yankees have to take advantage of their opportunities. If the Red Sox do hit some kind of a lose, even if it's like three games, four games, something like that, Yankees got to be winning those games if they're losing that many.
Okay, so the Red Sox come into Yankee Stadium on September 18th for a three-game series.
Yeah.
Where do the standings have to be where it's putting a little pressure on the Red Sox at that point? Does it have to be within six? So if the Yankees sweep all of those games, then we could have a tie scenario?
Yeah, I think if you're at seven, it seems like a little bit further out. Like 5-6 seems like, you know, very reachable at that point. Yeah, I think
because
I think 5-6,
we're in the final countdown at that point. There's 2 weeks left in the season at that point.
Yeah,
at least the Yankees could know, okay, there's pressure coming on Boston right now. If we sweep the series at home, they've got to play for something down the stretch. This is getting interesting. So I think as a Yankee fan, that's a realistic best case scenario where it could be.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I think August, they really need to close this month out in you know, with a really good record and hope that Boston loses some games. And if we can knock that lead down, three games, let's say, knock it down three games to where it is now, I think you're then walking into September with a, you know, it's still a long shot, but you have six games still against that team. If you can make up a few games in between, then, you know, there's absolutely a shot of at least having a, you know, a puncher's chance at that point. So I think it's important that they continue to win. And if they can cut that lead down, you know, by three games or so in the next 2-3 weeks, that would be huge.
Yeah, and they're going to have to do it with Robinson playing a lot in the outfield because Stanton is dealing with a hamstring injury, which he even said, I'm relegated to DHing. Doesn't seem to be affecting his offense, though, because he's been mashing the ball.
He's been crushing the ball. I mean, literally hitting the hardest ball, the hardest hit home run ball in the StatCast era for the last, this year and last year, I think, right?
It's the StatCast era, which is dating back to 2015. It was 121.7 miles an hour. 449 feet, just an absolute missile. I feel bad for the dude out in left field who had to attempt to catch that thing.
Yeah, it's a freaking laser beam. I mean, you got to try to put your hand up, right? You don't know it's coming that fast. You just see a ball
so
coming
fast.
At you.
It's like, oh, I'm gonna catch a home run. Oh shit,
yeah, my hand's
my
broken. No, I mean, it's not affecting him at all. It seems like he's like completely dialed in. I mean, he's been hitting over 300 since the start of June, and yeah, the ball's leaving the park. And I think it's because he's hitting those line drives so damn hard. You're seeing so many of them go out, and just not many guys can do that.
since the start of June, 308 with 19 home runs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a really good chunk of the season where he's hitting over 300, which, let's be honest, when I watched him in April and May, I didn't think he was anywhere close to a 300 hitter. Did you?
Well, no, because what we saw in April and May was just a... I think it was it was very out of... I don't know if it's on par, like kind of close to what he has started in Florida. But again, I still stick to this. I think there were so many circumstances with the beginning of the season, with the weather and him coming over as a new player, and just all sorts of things that were piled on top of him that played into his poor play. And his swing looked like dog shit. I mean, it was just getting weird at one point. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was getting weird in the way that he was hacking at the ball. And now it seems it's still his own thing, but it seems like he's a lot more in control. His body's more in control with what he's doing with the bat.
Do you remember we spent an entire 10 minutes on the podcast dissecting if he closed his stance or opened it slightly?
Yeah.
We were like comparing pictures and stuff. Well, you can only see half of the 7 on the 27 in this one, and you can see it fully on here. So he definitely closed his stance more. That's where we were with Stanton like back in May.
Well, and it was just so baffling because I've said this before, and I was talking this with my family this weekend about this. Like, you don't see the guy, you know, perform badly before he's on the Yankees. You see whatever highlights you're watching of the Marlins and him hitting a ball, you know, 500 feet. That's what you see. You see the good stand. You don't see the bad stand. And there aren't many people who saw the bad stand, I don't think, in Florida, just because there's nobody that goes to those games. But, you know, that guy, I think, is an anomaly to a lot of people. You just see the good stand. And we saw the bad stand very, very up close and personal. And it was a very big shock. It was definitely not up to the expectations that anybody had.
And Stanton is now the good Stanton. And this season, he has 8 of the top 10 hardest hit balls, according to StatCast. And the other two, one by Judge, one by Sanchez.
Yeah. And you know what? To his credit, the entire time, he's had the same demeanor, it seems like. He said the right things the entire time. It doesn't seem like he gets flustered in any way. Like, the guy is rock solid upstairs, I think. And he just, you know, he was taking it as it was. He was struggling. He knew it. He owned up to it. And, you know, he worked his ass off to get to the point where he is now. And now he's, you know, he's playing like one of the best hitters in baseball. I mean, he's up there. It's funny now when you look back at this trade and how many people were pining for, you know, the Yankees blowing the trade because of what he looked like earlier. But, you know, we were setting up, everybody in Yankee Nation and the world thinks that the Yankees were setting up for the free agency of 2018 to 2019. For Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. But when you look at this deal and what happened with the 10-year deal now with Stanton, and, you know, probably those guys are going to get something similar to that. I mean, it's like the Yankees went out and made a deal for one of those guys. And probably, if you're looking at the numbers right now, got the better of all of them. I mean, like, he's playing out of his mind right now.
He's certainly playing better than Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Oh, so no, if you're just comparing outfielder to outfielder, I mean, maybe you can argue that Bryce Harper fits into the Yankees need a little bit more because he's left-handed and he can play center field. I guess you could make that argument. But if you're just comparing offensive numbers, Stanton's been a much better player than Harper has this season.
Well, and Stanton has proved that he could go to all fields as well. So I don't think the fact that he hits the ball 121.7 miles per hour. So it really doesn't matter which field he hits it to. So I think when you're looking at Stanton, the left-handed bat thing is almost thrown out the window. It doesn't matter, you know, which side of the plate he's swinging the ball, the bat from, because he's going to crush it no matter what.
Yeah, but the lefty-righty matchups, you know, those are important to Boone.
That is true. He does play that card. My God, does he play that card.
And they've also had to be, the Yankees have also been dealing with, you know, Walker, who has been playing well and has been playing all over the place. He had this weird illness and neck stiffness on Friday, which sat him out. Then he was playing right field on Saturday again because Stanton's dealing with the hamstring injury. So not only are they dealing with Judge and Sanchez and minor injury to Stanton, but even their guys who we didn't think we'd be relying on so heavily is also dealing with some stuff.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that he came back and actually is starting to hit like Neil Walker, because this team would have been in big trouble if he didn't. And I think that's one of the one of the storylines I think that has you know, maybe been overlooked for what this year is. I mean, he was so bad in the beginning of the year that, you know, everybody, including us, wanted him off the team if he wasn't going to hit like Neil Walker is supposed to hit. But now that he is hitting and playing all over the place, we like him again, and he's great. It's a great addition now because he's doing what we want him to do. But he's been a very integral part of this team because, you know, with obviously the injuries to Judge and Sanchez, the offense needed a click up. And this guy's hitting home runs from both sides of the plate. He's out there playing right field, even though, you know, he's only had, two games now in right field. So he's doing what the team needs him to do, and that's huge.
If you had to guess, since July 1st, what is Neil Walker batting? If I had 97 to guess, plate appearances.
Since July 1st?
Yeah.
275.
306.
Okay. Yeah.
With an 865 OPS, which is well above league average.
That's awesome. I mean, I put him as a 270, 280 hitter. That's the guy I kind of expected to come over. And, you know, he's been better than that, I guess, since July 1st. So
can we say that he's been a better signing than Chris Carter for the $4 million?
Oh, 1,000%. There's no doubt about it. He's still on the team. I mean, he's doing things for the Yankees and being productive. He's helping the team right now. So, yeah, absolutely.
More kind of injuries, maybe no injury, is Chapman. To me, he does not look healthy. I know he's been dealing with knee tendonitis on and off all season. But the last few appearances by him were the walks. He's coming in and just not finding the plate. He has 6 walks in his last 3 appearances. His velocity was down in the last outing, 96 miles an hour on Saturday. I know it was raining. I know it was crappy conditions. But I don't know. He just does not look like the Chapman we saw for the first 3 months.
Even with the bad conditions, though, it seems like the pitch that he was going to that he could throw for a strike was the slider. And you wouldn't think that. You'd think that you'd be able to throw a fastball still, even in wet conditions, without the spin, you'd be able to get a better grip on it and be able to throw it. And he's just not able to locate that fastball. And that's a problem because, yeah, the slider has been good for him because he can use it off of the fastball. And even if he's not throwing the fastball for strikes, people are, they have to expect the fastball still and make sure that they're ready for it. But you can't rely on that slider for a strike, throwing pitch at this point. He's going to start to get hit if that's a trend that keeps going up. It's a pitch that's supposed to be supplemental, it's a secondary pitch. It's not a primary pitch for him, and it can't be. If it does start to become that, I think we're going to have bigger problems.
So what's going on with him? Is it injury? Is it irregular use that Boone just needs to get him into more steady situations? What's going on?
I have a problem saying anything about Boone and getting him in because he's been pitching. He was brought in a few times this past week, still not pitching well, still not finding it. You could tell he's struggling badly. I have to think it's the tendonitis. I got to think there's something going on with him in his lower half, and he's just not able to get his mechanics right because, I mean, the dude's not able to throw the ball over the plate at all. And I know when he's struggling, the location's not there, but we're at a point now where he can't throw a strike at all. You can't bring him into a high leverage situation. It's very difficult to believe in Chapman in a high leverage situation right now. It really is.
Well, I'm surprised Boone left him in on Saturday. In that ninth inning because of Chapman never gets hit, right? We never see Chapman go in there and just give up a double and a home run. Boom. It's over. It's always walks. It's always a slow burn. He can't find the plate. He hits a batter. He gives up a cheap hit. He walks another batter. And then, boom, we're in a terrible jam with him. That is almost more of a helpless feeling, almost more concerning than when a guy just goes out there and gets hit, because that can just be, well, I was missing my location today. I'll fix it for the next time out.
Well, yeah, but when you're missing your location, you're right, because when you're missing your location so badly that guys are just putting they're not swinging the bat. They're just leaving it on their shoulder and waiting for you to walk them, because that's what's been happening. He just hasn't proved that he could throw a ball over the plate. So if I'm on the offensive side at that point, like I'm making this guy throw me strikes. He's got to throw me strikes. He's got to show me that he can throw strikes for me to even swing the bat. And then, and then all of a sudden you have a guy like JD Martinez who comes in and is expecting a strike and, destroys a ball. So I don't know. It's very difficult. Again, I'll go back to the slider thing. Like, he's able to locate the slider, it seems like, which is, to me, strange. But you cannot have that as a primary pitch. You can't have that as your primary strike throwing pitch. It's got to be the fastball.
So Aaron Judge had the wrist injury on July 26th.
Yep.
We're approaching that three-week mark, which was what the Yankees originally said for the timetable on him. But it does not seem like he's going to come back soon. I think that's a good move, because I think what the Yankees most importantly should be focusing on getting Judge and Sanchez back healthy in September, and then having them both hitting as they go into October.
I mean, that's the priority right now. They have to make sure that they're healthy. There's no doubt. Our guys, Keith McPherson and Conrad, were at the Oakley signing, the Oakley announcement of Aaron Judge being their brand ambassador last week on Thursday. And he talked about this, you know, talked about how he's feeling good, but they're still not able to get out there and really make baseball progress. So I think they are taking it slowly. I think that's one of the big things that they're doing right now. They cannot rush this guy, because as we talked about in the top of the show, what's in front of us right now is the wild card. Yes, the division is there, but you cannot rush him back to try to get your team, you know, and press for the division. You just can't do that. You got to get him healthy. And then when he's healthy and ready to go, whenever that is, you see where you are and you bring Aaron Judge back. But you got to bring him back healthy, because you can't afford him to come back and then go out again for another month.
Who comes back first, him or Sanchez?
I think Aaron Judge comes back first.
Yeah, because the timetable was longer on Sanchez to begin with anyway. But
yeah, Sanchez was, you know, I expected him to miss the entire month of August. Judge, I did not. But it's looking closer to that. I mean, it looks like, you know, they may, if we're looking at timetables now, they may be pretty close to, you know, neck and neck at this point, just because of Judge being delayed. But I don't know. I hope it's not anything more. I really don't.
Yankees hit 5 homers on Thursday night, just totally teed off on the Rangers pitching. And then the Rangers flipped it on their head, teed off on Tanaka and the Yankees pitching on Friday. It was the first bad start for Tanaka since returning from the DL. He gave up 6 earned runs, 3 homers in 5 innings. But if you looked at his previous 30 innings over 5 starts coming back from the DL, he only allowed 6 earned runs and 3 homers total. Excuse me, I can't talk. So he basically doubled the earned runs and the home runs allowed in his one start.
Yeah, he had a bad outing, right? That's what we're chalking it up for. He's been really good since. It's this Guzman kid has been destroying the Yankees. Apparently, he just hits home runs against us.
And Chu destroyed and the Yankees all weekend.
Chu as well, but the Guzman kid is just the one that like rubs. I'm like, really? Why? He hit 3 home runs. Really? This guy was crushing us early in the season too when we lost that series in Texas. So. Hey, look, he had a bad start. He wasn't locating the ball. He wasn't able to throw the ball over the plate with consistency. He wasn't, you know, executing his pitches. He walked, I think, 3 guys as well. So it was a bad start with him. You know, unless we see this as a trend, we chalk it up as a blip.
That's what you have to, I think, tell yourself. Because
we have no choice at this point.
We have no choice at this point with the way this rotation is going. At least Tanaka was kind of taking that mantle of being the constant in the rotation, being every fifth day, I'll give you something to lean on where I can go deep into this game and give us a chance to win. And that was a bad start. So we have to just say it's a blip on the radar, or else it's going to be full panic mode, I think.
Well, I mean, since the guys have come over from the trades, you know, they've actually been very good and really solidified the rotation. Yeah, they have. They've
so the, I mean, only guys
have been guys, injured, obviously, or disgustingly sick. I don't know how else to say it. Hand, mouth, and foot disease. I don't even know what this is. Again, Oregon Trail diseases are coming back. I don't get it.
But penicillin, I mean, they is have, now available. Like, we can fix this.
Stuff. Right, right. Yeah, we don't have to do that anymore. But they have added a level of consistency since they've been back with the starts that they've had. Lynn, obviously, with that first start after the Boston series, was very good, and then, you know, pitched well again. And then Happ has just been that guy who's come in, give you quality starts. So I think we've seen more consistency. We haven't seen the Sonny Gray blowups until, you know, today.
Well, we haven't seen the Sonny Gray blowups because he's been relegated to the last man in the bullpen.
Right. But that's it. But what I'm saying is that we've seen some consistency. So the fact that Tanaka did have this blip, it's more of a minor situation as we currently stand because of Lynn and Happ.
And the Yankees scored 7 runs in that game, so they still were in that game, but the bullpen was trash too.
Yeah. No, it's true. There's a it seems like we still haven't really found this team hitting all cylinders, right? We have not found
the
offense going at the same time,
right?
Where we've had everybody playing well. It just hasn't happened yet.
Maybe late May, early June, when they went on that tear. That was the closest thing we've seen.
I'd say there were a few games in there, but even then, like, the offense was ridiculous, and you know they were picking up. Sometimes with the starters were good early in the season, and the offense was nothing. And you know they've played role reversals. It seems like we haven't seen this team like fully hit full steam yet.
Well, you said Oregon Trail diseases for Hap, but maybe he got it from riding the subway. You see that he was riding the 4 train after the game.
Yeah.
Does he not know to not lick the subway poles?
Maybe he doesn't know. There's an etiquette in the subway that he doesn't understand, I think. Yeah,
he maybe was shaking hands with the homeless people on the subway. That's how he got the ear, mouth, and toe disease, or whatever it's called.
Something's going on with him. I like the fact that he's riding the subway. I got to say, I like that.
It makes me Larrett style.
He's an everyday guy. You know, that makes me like him even more. So I appreciate it. But let's keep our hands in our pockets.
And obviously no one recognized him because he's been on the Yankees for barely a minute, and he just looks like you know your ordinary white dude.
Yeah, he looks like a doctor coming home from a long day, just ready to go.
So I want to talk about Zach Britton, who has not looked good since coming to the Yankees. In his 6 1/3 innings, he's given up 5 runs. He blew the save in Chicago. And then he blew the game on Saturday. The Yankees ended up coming back, and Duhar saved his ass. But he's allowed, in those 6 1/3 innings, 6 hits and 6 walks.
Yeah, it's bad. The walks are the biggest concerning thing for me, too. And he's doing it in situations where he's like, he looks good early in the inning, and then all of a sudden he's losing his control. And I don't really understand that. I did not expect a guy coming in like Zach Britton to walk guys. I did not expect that at all. If he's getting hit up a little bit, you know, I think he's obviously not had the greatest season, but before the trade, he started to look like he was turning the corner and look like that good Zach Britton again. Not the same 2015 or 16 Zach Britton, but he's still looking like a very good relief guy that can slot in here and even get a save now and again. But no, he has not been the guy we expected for sure.
Right, you talked about he totally, it's like a switch was flipped in that inning. He got the first 2 batters out easily and then allowed 2 hits and 2 walks.
Yeah.
So what changed there? And he gave up the hits to some lefties too. And I know he's had reverse splits this year, but it was very, very small sample size. In his career with the Orioles out of the bullpen, he has dominated left-handed batters. They can't get anything off of him.
Yeah, I hope it's not something where, you know, there's fatigue because of the injury. And I guess that's a real thing, especially when you're coming back from such a big leg injury, a lower half injury, you know, with a pitcher, then you're not able to execute your pitches. And, you know, like we said, we started the inning well, but not finishing the inning off. So is there some kind of a fatigue thing there? Is there something getting disrupted, you know, towards in the middle of the inning? There's just, it's concerning to me because the guy is supposed to be a very big part of what we're going to be doing in the bullpen as the season goes on. And we're not seeing all these guys be, you know, as they were last year. They're not their dominant self like they were last year. So now he is needed to be a significant cog in this bullpen, and he's just not pitching well.
Yeah, the quote-unquote Super Bullpen. At the trade deadline, we said, okay, well, maybe the Yankees, they got Hap, which is great, but at least they assembled a Super Bullpen where we can shorten games even more. But in the recent week, Chad Green has looked hittable. He's given up 3 runs in his last 5 innings, 7 hits and a walk. AJ Cole, since they traded away Warren and gave Adam Warren the AJ Cole role, has pitched 7 innings, given up 11 hits and 5 earned runs. Holder had the terrible Boston series. Chapman's dealing with these possible knee issues. So the Super Bullpen just looks ordinary.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Holder's starting to pitch better again. It seems like he's
rebounded today,
yeah,
but
for sure he's come back a little bit. And I mean, he's still one of the big guys that Boone is relying on, and he did get out of a big jam with a big strikeout today. So it's good to see that. Obviously, AJ Cole's a weird thing. Like, I was very surprised that they gave up on the Warren trade. Really surprised me because they, you know, obviously the Boone and Cashman and whomever else was in that decision just said that, okay, AJ Cole, we've seen him a little bit, but he's pitched well when he's come in. Let's just give him the role that Adam Warren, a guy that has been here for a long time, that's been trusted by the organization for a while. It was a bold move, and it doesn't seem like so far it's paid off.
And Warren had been having a pretty solid season too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could still say, well, they can easily move on from AJ Cole and call back up Tommy Kainley. Although, like we said on the last,
who the hell knows what the hell's going on there. Yeah.
Kainley might have pictures of on somebody because they seem to hate him.
Yeah, they do hate him. Maybe it's because he's an Eagles fan.
So you think Cashman, big Giants, big Giants Eagles rivalry, just doesn't like that they won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and he's very outspoken about it. You know, that could be it. Maybe he is a terrible Fortnite player, from what I understand. That could be playing into it. Maybe Cashman's a big Fortnite guy, and nobody knows it.
You know, I like where you're going with this.
There could be some things here. Yeah.
All right, you excited for Players Weekend? I know you love Players Weekend.
Let's go. Players Weekend. Give me some XFL jerseys. Give me some horrible. Give me the old Pickles nickname on the back of a guy. I can't wait for him to come in a terrible game of mop up duty wearing Pickles. It's gonna be awesome.
Spring training uniform with nicknames on the back. You still have your hardos like Gardner say no, just put my last name on it. Gotta love that. All right, so this is the second year of it. It's going to be August 24th, 25th, and 26th. The Yankees are in Baltimore that weekend. How much longer is this going to go before this wears off? I mean, I guess people are buying these jerseys, right? That's the whole reason they're doing it.
Yeah.
And some of these guys are savvy because Didi's changing his nickname up. And you
more
might
jersey
say,
well, sales.
Exactly. I have the Sir Didi jersey from last year, but I got to get the night jersey this year. Boom, cha-ching, more yeah. money.
No doubt about it. You got to change it up. I mean, if you're going to play the game. Let's, you know, just do it correctly, and you can make a little bit of money. Didi's not stupid. He knows what he's doing. You see him doing a lot of promotions during the season as well. So, look, you know, I mock it because I think it's dumb, but whatever. I think some people do like it. I think the younger fans enjoy it. It's you know, it doesn't hurt me. Like, I do think it's dumb. I don't like looking at it, but I don't care enough. I'm not telling everybody to get off my lawn on this one. It's it just kind of is what it is. It'll be there and then it'll be gone, and that's how I feel about it. But I must say, Gardner is trending, right? Because we got now what, four guys? You got Bird going with Bird. I mean, some could say that that's a nickname and it's actually a bird, but it is his last name. Gardner going with Gardner. Higgy's no longer is not Higgy. He's using his full last name. And then Shane Robinson.
Say it. No, you're not getting off
Higashikoa. Higashikoa. Nope. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Nailed it. and then Sugar Shane Robinson having the perfect opportunity going boring. I mean, if I'm Shane Robinson, I'm going all out with this one. And I'm definitely putting Sugar Shane on there.
Like, well, he knows. I mean, is he still going to be on the roster on August 24th? I mean,
who cares?
That's
yeah,
a full
probably.
2 weeks away. Come on.
He's going to be our starting
to take over.
Right fielder.
He's batting like, 048.
I get it. He's still going to be there probably. The bottom line is, if I'm him, I'm not putting my last name on there. I'm doing something.
Yeah.
Celebrate it. You're there. Celebrate it.
And did you see Glaber going with GT? Which yeah. Francesa tried to nickname him GT back in May for about a week. No one did it. But here we are a couple months later, and Francesa called it. He nicknamed him GT, and I guess that's what he's going with.
A little insider trading here? Is there a little deal here
Possibly.
Between the sports pope and Glaber?
Possibly.
Maybe there's going to be a partnership announced. This could be big. Maybe this is the reason why Glaber was really trying to learn English. He's going to be making that weekly spot on Mike's Up.
Any of these other ones stick out to you that you like?
I respect the Lance Lynn one. He's using his daughter's name on his back, Mia.
Yes.
I think that is what a family man. That guy, like the snowman, comes out there and with the dad bod and puts his daughter's name on his back. Gotta respect that.
And Britton is honoring his Dominican roots. Did you know he has Dominican roots?
Nah, just pitch better, bro. Like, I just need you to pitch better. I don't care about your roots right now. I will look at your roots and talk about them and all of that if you pitch better. Otherwise, I don't want to know anything about you.
I like Andujar going with Papa.
Yeah, that's good.
He's hitting. Right now, he's mashing the ball. He deserves Papa.
It's good. I mean, that's what everybody calls him, right? Papa Andui. So I like it.
All right, so during this makeup game against the Mets, Severino is going to be going against DeGrom. I think this is a really good opportunity against a tough pitcher for Severino to return to the first half Severino form.
Yeah, I mean, he's going against a tough pitcher, but he's also going up against a horrible Mets lineup. So there's an opportunity here for him to mow over some Mets.
He knows. I got to put up zeros because DeGrom's going to do the same.
No doubt. So yeah, it's a good opportunity. He's got to start off right. I mean, that's what we've seen him. He's been over the past couple of starts, we're seeing him find his groove, but not start off as Severino. So if he can come out of the gate with Luis Severino, I think that'll just give him that added confidence in his stuff. And hopefully he can just continue to execute his mechanics and do what he got to do. But yeah, we need to see him put together a full start. And you know, I'm confident in Severino. Everything looks okay. I don't think anything looks concerning to me, like with the eye test or, you know, what's going on with his mental makeup or any of that stuff. Like, I feel like he's still in a good place, just hiccuping on the mechanics a little bit. So I'm expecting a rebound.
And then three against the Tampa Bay bullpen. So that's always annoying. All right, let's get to mailbag questions. If you guys want to submit questions, you can do so by going to bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. And there is a form that you can fill out and email us. Or you can post in the Facebook group. It's the Bronx Pinstripe Show. And also tweet us at Yankees Podcast. The first question is from Troy.
Let me do it.
Do you know it?
Do you know I do. Do you know how to do it? Because okay. I told him I butchered it on the last one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he actually gave me a phonetic spelling. And there's not I literally could have had 1,000 tries to pronounce his name and I never would have gotten it. So I'm looking at it right now. It's Tiviash.
Oh, God.
Tiviash. Yeah, no. And it's spelled T-H-I-V-I-E-R-G-E. Tiviash. Like S-H-H.
See, I know my name is not even that difficult, and every teacher in school butchered it. So, Troy, I know your pain, man.
You don't know his pain. His pain is way worse than your pain.
That's true. He says, why isn't Miguel Andujar being taken seriously for AL Rookie of the Year? His line, 294, 328, 832. He has 31 doubles, leads all rookies, and 17 home runs. He doesn't have the best on-base percentage and strikes out 19% of the time. Gleyber strikes out 18.5% of the time. He's first in runs scored, first in hits, first in RBIs, second in average, third in homers, third in OPS. I understand Gleyber mania, but the do looks like the front runner to me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think people are not taking him seriously for AL Rookie of the Year. I think he is being taken seriously for you know, the honors, because the guy's been ridiculous. I mean, he's been you know, unbelievable this year. The glove, obviously, he's not a good fielder right now. It's just there's no other way to put it.
I can't watch him back up on a ground ball again.
I mean, he had two errors today again. You know, he had a third one saved at first base. So, you know, he's definitely struggling with the glove. There's no doubt about it. But he also made a nice a nice play on the line and made a good throw across the diamond. So you're seeing some flashes of like nice plays, but he's definitely, there's no doubt about it. Like in the offseason, this dude's got to improve his fielding. But you win Rookie of the Year with your offensive numbers. That everybody knows that. But I think we're seeing Andujar just be very consistent though for basically the entire time up. I think in the beginning we saw, you know, him overswinging a little bit and trying to be a little bit aggressive. But he's really found his own, and it seems like this guy is you know, hitting. We're seeing what he can be as a hitter. And to me, when you're getting more at bats and you're getting more looks at these guys, you're just going to become more of a seasoned pro at the plate. And he's coming up clutch too. Like the numbers that he's hitting home runs. The other night he hit one with two outs in a big situation after Chicago had just tied the game at three, comes out with a two out big home run, or that was against Texas. And you know, that's a big deal when you're coming in as a rookie and getting those big hits in big situations. And I love the fact that he's doing it with two outs.
And Andujar's OPS in his own right is 832, as Troy said. And I think what a lot of the reason a lot of Yankees fans fell in love with Gleyber in the first part of the year is because he was getting big hits, right? We saw him all with all the three-run homers, the walk-off hits. The moment's not too big for him. But it appears the same applies to Andujar, because he had a bunch of big hits this week, including the game-winning hit in Chicago in extra innings, and then the go-ahead home run against Texas on Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, and obviously we've seen since Gleyber has come back, he's definitely struggled. I mean, he's in a a rut right now. I think when I saw it was like 8 for 40 something. So he's not hitting the ball. And early in the season, he was hitting home runs. Nobody expected him to hit home runs. And the guy was hitting the ball out of the ballpark, you know, consistently. And that was getting a lot of attention. And yeah, there were a lot of 3-run shots, a lot of big home runs. So, you know, he was definitely hitting timely. But it's going to be the whole body of work at the end of the season. And they're going to see where they are. But it's going to be close. I mean, Andujar certainly is in the running. So to Troy's first point, like, I do think he's being taken seriously for Rookie of the Year. Absolutely.
You know who's not in the running anymore?
Who?
Ohtani.
Oh, true.
Ohtani-san.
He's hitting, though, right? I mean, he can still hit.
Yeah, he's still hitting, but the fact when he was pitching and hitting, I think everyone was just obsessed with him for that. And now that he's just a hitter, it's just a regular player.
Yeah, I mean, if they were to have him come back, I know there was talk of him coming back to pitch. I don't know if that's still a thing, but I would be very surprised if they did, especially given where they are right now currently in the standings. I would be very surprised if they came back and let him pitch again this year.
Yeah, they totally fell off a cliff, too, because back in May, they were in playoff contention, in the wild card race.
Right.
Totally fell on their faces. Okay, the next question is from Vincent Vega. He says, is the fact that Bird is sitting against the lefty Sunday mean they no longer view him as what they once did? I'm fine with it, but are they going to give playoff at-bats to Voit against lefties? If not, then there's no need for a manager. Might as well sit a desktop at the bottom steps of the dugout.
Yeah, I don't like the lefty righty switches on every single friggin' starter when we're seeing with Bird, and it just seems like it's happening way too much. I think if you want Greg Bird to find any kind of consistency, you got to let him in. You got to leave him in there against lefties. Let him hit and try to let him find his groove. I mean, the guy's been good against left-hand pitching. Or he's been okay against. He's been good.
He's been better.
As good. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
No.
I'm not saying. I know, but I said good. He hasn't been good against righty or lefty pitching, but he's been as good as he is against righty. It hasn't made a difference, is the point. So I feel like you got to give him consistent at bats, and that's just not happening. And if it's because of the matchup, like the fact that this the Voit kid is in now, and he could pick a ball. I'll give him that. He could play some decent defense.
He did. He made a couple of nice picks today.
Yeah.
And Didi was phenomenal in the field today.
Absolutely, he was. And you know, that could be something against. That could be a reason why Bird is sitting as well. I mean, he's not really shown that great in the field either. So the fact that he's not hitting and not, you know, pick. I mean, that ball, the one where he should have gotten that Andujar at the end of the game.
The Sunday night game. The Sunday
absolutely
night game.
Should have picked that ball. So, you know, it's not just offensively. Like, I don't think he's been playing well defensively as well. So that could play into it. But at the same time, if you want to get him going, and if he is part of that, you know, part of the plans in that sense, then you got to give him more at-bats.
Right, especially after a game where he got two doubles the day before.
Such like a Girardi move.
The lefty they were facing today is not, you're not facing Chris Sale.
Right.
And like we said, Birds actually has a higher OPS against lefties than he does righties this season. 799 compared to 690. Neither is good.
That was my difference. Point. Like, we're not talking about good baseball here.
Right, but you're not saying that this guy disappears against lefties. In fact, he seems to be having a little bit better quality at bats against lefties.
I mean, do we all forget the playoff home run he hit against freaking Andrew Miller, who's one of the best lefty relievers?
Boone was not managing the Yankees at that point.
I know
so
that.
He might not be aware of it.
Maybe he was calling the game. He may have actually called the home run. The point is that we've seen him in high leverage situations go up against very, very talented lefties and do well. I just think you got to give the guy, if he is that guy that you think he is, you know, if you think that Voit gives you a better opportunity to win at that point and he's just a better hitter, then, you know, do what you think is right. But I still think they think Bird is the first baseman and will be the first baseman. If that is the case, then they got to give him more at bats and against lefties. They got to do it. They can't just keep pulling him every single time a lefty comes up.
The next question is from John at _John426. If you could go back in time and hire Cora instead of Boone, would you do that?
No, I still like Boone. I still think he's doing a good job. Yeah, Cora is definitely has the attention of that team and seems like he's doing a really good job up there. But I don't know. You can't really.
Cora outmanaged Boone last weekend. We sat on the podcast and said that
Cora was never even in my mind as a potential guy to manage the Yankees. Just he wasn't there. So, you know, that would be like saying, just pull some other random dude in here and say that, you know, if I could choose this other random dude is doing well, or Boone, the guy that we hired, would I do that? No, I have a hard time going back and playing this game, because I still think Boone's going to be a very good manager. I still think he's done a good job. And I still think that, you know, he can lead this team to good things. So, no, I'm happy with Boone still.
Well, another popular take on Yankees Twitter is that the Yankees would be in a better spot today with Girardi than they are Boone.
Well, of course, that's, you know, the grass is always greener. The same people were bitching and complaining about Girardi every night. So, you know, maybe Hensley Mullins would have gotten five more wins from this team. Who knows?
Well, I understand that they're different teams and different scenarios and everything's different. But last year on this date, the Yankees had 13 fewer wins than they do this year.
There we go. Let's use that stat when it's convenient.
All right. Final question is from Dylan Pescatore at Dylan Pescatore 1. What would the postseason rotation be? So let's just say wild card game is tomorrow. They've lined up their pitching. What's the rotation?
I think it's going to go, if the season ended, it would go Severino, Tanaka, CC, depending on the matchup. I think they could flip those two, you know, interchangeably. Then it would go Hap Lynn, if you're talking about five stars.
Well,
but we're talking about four. Then I think Hap would probably get the last one, and Lynn would be the one of the first guys in if a guy were to get in trouble. Sonny Gray, yeah, Probably not even on the roster.
I agree. Sonny Gray's probably not on the roster. So if you're talking Severino goes in the wild card game, that means Tanaka is starting game one at Fenway Park. I could actually see them going Hap game two, Fenway Park, and then CC is going to pitch back at home against the Red Sox. I think they probably feel more comfortable with that.
I think, again, the way it would line up, I could see CC pitching at home. I don't know. Tanaka's, we've seen some good starts from Tanaka and Fenway as well. So I think
they're comfortable with Tanaka starting in Fenway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Hap has those numbers against the Red Sox that everyone loved to cite when the Yankees traded for him. So
don't you kind of have to see that firsthand?
Oh, of course. I kind of have to see that firsthand. I'm not banking on that. Are you kidding me?
I can't really sit those numbers and be like, okay, I feel good about this. No.
That's why I was so, I was very much looking forward to that, what was supposed to be Hap against Evaldi last weekend.
Yeah. Evaldi got shelled the other day, by the way. But,
I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, they could flip-flop it, but I think when you're looking at those four guys, those are the guys. But Lynn, I think, would be the first stopper out of the bullpen if someone were to get in trouble. And, I mean, people are asking Sonny Gray. No, at this point, no. He has not earned a spot on this roster, not even in the bullpen. I don't know how you could, you know, maybe if he's like the mop-up long guy, if there's one more spot and they needed to add another pitcher, then he could be a security blanket because he can go longer. But, you know, what are you getting from that? Like we saw him pitch three innings on the road and look good and got the save and the win. But then we saw him come out today and stink it up again. And he was just bad. And yeah, he had some dribblers in his first,
but that's but the not second a inning, seven run.
Yeah, but the second come inning, on. he was getting hit hard and
I agree.
It was bad. So, and he got booed off again. And I swear to God, he was fighting the smile.
Well, against Chicago, it was on the road, and Higgy was catching, and now at home, he's got Romine catching.
Romine's bad news.
With the Yankees fans who hate him at Yankee Stadium booing him. So
maybe he just needs it. Maybe he needs the backup catcher at all times. It doesn't matter who that guy is.
It's just always the backup catcher.
Yeah, it just can't
be the
starter.
You could be the backup catcher, right, and he would prefer to throw to you.
Yes, it cannot be the starter. He doesn't like throwing to the starter.
So then what they should do is when Sanchez comes off the DL, they should just tell Sonny Gray he's the backup catcher.
Done. That's great. Let's trick him.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Again, guys, submit mailbag questions for every Monday episode, as well as call the voicemail line 646-480-0342. We have some voicemails coming up. You're going to hear a couple of the stragglers from the last week's Sunday night meltdown and all that stuff. So I guess you get to relive that stuff, right?
Yay.
Hey, it's fun. It's fun to
the bipolar phone calls are terrific, honestly, from like the beginning of the week. And then you get to the end, you see the tone of the Yankee fan and the guys that call. So I think they're hilarious. We don't edit them. We edit them to put them together, but we don't edit really much of any of it. So we certainly don't bleep out words. I can tell you that much. But I got to tell you, the young kid who's calling, you're concerning me, young man. You're concerning me a little bit. Let's just relax a little bit, huh?
You mean the hashtag kill Sonny Gray doesn't make you feel good?
No, that kid's concerning me a bit. You know, maybe we're not setting a great example here.
How old is he?
Dude, I don't know. 13, 12?
Oh, I was gonna put the over under at 12 and a half. So
okay, yeah. So good. That's a good good prop bet.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. I love the passion. Because you know what? If there was podcasts back when I was 12, I would have been doing the same exact thing that this kid is doing.
All right, guys. Well, last thing. Get your tickets. Make sure you get them in today. Today's the last day. And really, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody over the weekend.
All right. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out, or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Tough loss. No worries. We'll be back. Ain't over. We'll be back. Tough times, though. Tough times.
We need to make some changes here. I think it's getting ridiculous. I didn't kind of sit here and watch it. Sad. It really is. Falling behind a lot. I think we're about 9.5, maybe 10 games behind now. And there's not much season left, so we gotta get going here.
I'm sitting in my bedroom, playing Xbox on my television, and I have the game on because I'm talking to my friend about the game. I'm watching the game on the laptop, and all of a sudden I see 4-1 on the game. So I start to focus more. I'm watching it. First and second, and yep, sure enough, Cameron pulls that with Martinez up, becomes 4-3. And then 4-4. So now I'm really paying attention, and I'm saying, there's a lamp right next to my bed in my room. And I said, if this lead gets blown, the Red Sox win, a walk-off, which they do, courtesy of fucking ugly Andrew Benintendi, and I'm busting this fucking lamp over my head.
All the people out there, they're saying, oh, we should trade for Machado, should trade for Machado, should trade for Machado.
The fuck you gonna do? You gonna fucking close the game out, motherfuckers? What the fuck? Sick of it. Shut the fuck up.
Hey guys, Andrew, Scott. Just wondering what your thoughts are on about Aaron Boone. We start questioning the manager, the decision to get rid of Girardi now, or is that a little too impulsive? I mean, after this Red Sox loss, the extra innings loss, I'm talking about 4-game sweep, the 9.5 games back now, only 2.5 games in the wild card. I mean, what do you do? Is there someone to blame, or is it just bad play and they'll get out of it? I don't know. I mean, this is absolutely brutal to watch them play baseball right now. But do you blame Boone? And if so, what do you blame?
To call in, I'd love to leave a little bit of an idea of what happened during the game, after the game. I woke up this morning to find out the Yankees lost and watched the replay. All I can say is growing pains, man. I mean, Miggy Andujar has been playing a great third base. He could have ended the game right there. He bounced the ball to Bird. To me, that was the season right there. Chapman's the same guy that can hit the backstop 4 times and he can dot the corner 4 times. So it is what it is. I think is that it's Boston's year. They're having a phenomenal historic run. And we still got the wild card to chase after. So let's just hope for the best. But the Yankees are 2 years ahead of schedule. They're exciting. They're young. They're going to grow in front of us. Any other franchise will enjoy watching what we're watching. So if they fall short this year, we still had a great season. It's still only August, 6th, 7th? We'll be fine. Hey, man, thank you for your Twitter account, and thank you for letting us vent every now and again. Peace out.
When's the last time the Yankees have closed out a ninth inning at Fenway? I don't remember. That was terrible. I'm at a loss for words. I'm hungover as fuck. Chapman, throw a damn strike. Bird, catch the ball. Fucking hit Price. Kill me now. Dude, this was such a weird game. Why? Oh my, 13 innings. Where do I start? CeCe came in 12 Ks, 5 and 2 thirds. Awesome. Chad came in. Awesome. Every pitch after that, no hits. Awesome. And Zach Britton just gave that one homer to Jose. And they just kept coming back. But so, Sonny Gray. Andrew Scott. Your boy Sonny Gray did good. Alright? And he didn't smile. He was intense. And he was, I'm loving this bullpen, Sonny Gray, baby. Good win tonight. Let's go, Yanks.
Damn it. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it. This series could have not gone any worse for the Yankees. I'm literally speechless. This was a series that cannot... it shouldn't have happened, and it couldn't happen, but it did. And Aaron Judge and Sanchez injuries cannot come at a better time, but we cannot make excuses. And y'all, we literally just need to stop worrying about this series and move on. We have a series in Chicago that we need to win. These are must-win games for the postseason. Now we are only 2.5 games up on the wild card. I can't even believe that. But we have to make a push. We have to. For the season is something that we would never thought of. But we gotta bounce back, guys. Go Yanks. And whoever is saying, oh, we need Machado, we need Machado, screw y'all, alright? The youth of this team really showed in this series. Glaber, he was literally swinging at everything, being too aggressive. Miguel, he defensively, he made two errors in the last game, but his inexperience showed, and he shows why he's a rookie. I mean, just a little bonehead play, didn't take another step and throw, make a good throw, and it cost us the game. Simple as that. Chapman almost had it done. But we cannot, if you want Machado, if you needed Machado now, we would have gave up so much more, dude. This is ridiculous. We have the team that we have now, and we're sticking with it. We have to. And we had to make a push. We have to, guys. Go Yanks.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.